From the Cumberland Gap to the Atlantic Ocean, this is Virginia Water Radio for the week of April 27th, 2020. This week, the sounds of an electricity transmission line and the James River serve to remind us that energy use, including electricity generation, is closely linked with water resources. As stated by the U.S. Geological Survey, energy is required to withdraw, transport, and treat water for human consumption, and water is required to extract and process fossil fuels, grow biofuels, and cool thermoelectric power plants. In Virginia, thermoelectric power generation is by far the largest single use of surface water withdrawals. Recently, some far-reaching decisions were made affecting Virginia's energy, water and other natural resources, and economy. Have a listen for about 15 seconds to some sounds connected to those decisions.
The House will come to order. Members, please take their seats.
Senate will come to order. The senators will please take their seats.
The 2020 Virginia General Assembly passed two major acts affecting electricity generation, carbon emissions from that generation, and responses to recurrent or repetitive flooding. The more complex of the two is the Virginia Clean Economy Act, which was House Bill 1526 and identical Senate Bill 851. With a summary running to over 1,200 words, this act is big, detailed, and historic. Here are six major things the act does. 1. Changes from voluntary to mandatory the Renewable Energy Portfolio Standard for Dominion Energy Virginia and American Electric Power, or AEP, requiring those companies to produce 100% carbon emission-free electricity by 2045 and 2050, respectively. 2. Sets an energy efficiency standard and requires Dominion and AEP to make annual improvements toward that standard. 3. Removes the state's declaration that new nuclear power facilities are considered in the public interest, and increases significantly the electricity production capacity from wind and solar considered in the public interest. 4. Increases the allowances on electricity generation by utility customers. 5. Establishes the percentage of income payment program to cap monthly utility payments by low-income customers. And 6. Establishes that state agencies must consider how energy facilities and programs affect low-income geographic areas and historically economically disadvantaged communities located near energy facilities. The second major law is the Clean Energy and Community Flood Preparedness Act, which was House Bill 981 and identical Senate Bill 1207. This act has two major components. First, it establishes a carbon dioxide cap and trade program intended to reduce carbon emissions from electricity generating plants, in compliance with the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which currently includes 10 Mid-Atlantic and New England states. Second, it changes the current Shoreline Resiliency Fund to the Community Flood Preparedness Fund as a low-interest loan program for inland and coastal communities that experience recurrent flooding, with the program to be funded by the sale of emission allowances from the Carbon Cap and Trade Program. These acts passed by relatively close margins. They'll be complicated to implement, and they'll probably continue to generate considerable debate. You can find more details about these acts and all General Assembly legislation at the Legislative Information System website, lis.virginia.gov, or from your local delegate or state senator. Virginia Water Radio is produced by the Virginia Water Resources Research Center, part of Virginia Tech's College of Natural Resources and Environment. For more Virginia Water sounds, music, or information, visit us online at virginiawaterradio.org or call the Water Center at 540-231-5624. Thanks to Stuart Scales for his banjo version of Cripple Creek to open and close this episode. In Blacksburg, I'm Alan Raflow, thanking you for listening and wishing you health, wisdom, and good water.